Shall we read further in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13? Reading from verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your day, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Now let us turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Do all things, verse 14 of chapter 2 of Philippians. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now you'll have noticed that I read you of 3 days. In fact, I have read you of 4 days. One day I want to speak on, 3 days I'll mention. I have read of your day. God is working a work in your day. Then I read of the day of Christ. I read of the day of the Lord, and I read of the day of God. And we want everyone to know here tonight that God has a program and a schedule on which he is operating. And although man may forget this and not take it into consideration because the scripture says God is not in all their thoughts, yet, friend, we want to inform you tonight that God's program is running on schedule. When God made man, he says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, and the seventh shall be a Sabbath of rest. And we believe that's not only a literal 6 day week, 7 day week, 7 days, 6 days shalt thou labor, but myself, I can see in this a picture of man's day. God says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And sometimes people say, well, why doesn't God intervene with all that's going on in the world and put a stop to it? Friend, this is man's day, and God is a God of integrity and justice, and he will not interfere until man's day comes to a close. I've read to you of the day of Christ. Now you heard about the coming of the Lord. And friend, that could take place tonight. Our Lord Jesus, that you've been hearing so much about this evening in the first part of the meeting, thank God he's living. And this morning we broke bread, as he asked us to do, until he come. And we believe he's coming. Everything in the world is pointing to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, before this congregation leaves these sheets tonight, the Lord Jesus could burst the clouds asunder and come for his own. The rapture, that's what we're looking for, the day of Christ, when he's going to receive his bride. And friend, then the day of the Lord will be ushered in, and oh, what a day for this poor world, when the Lord rises up and shakes terribly the earth. And when, friend, the awful time of tribulation and the ensuing plagues and all, after the church has gone to heaven and sinners are blinded to accept the Antichrist, the day of the Lord, which will culminate in the day of God, when God is going to explode this ball on which we live. It's going to melt with fervent heat and pass away with a great noise. Friend, that's God's program. But I want to major tonight on the first scripture I read. And I believe it follows along with what you've been hearing. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. I want to think of your day. Your day. This is your day. And God is working a work in your day. Thank God. Now, what is God working in your day? Well, I'll tell you, friend, he's not interested in putting men in the moon or putting spacecrafts up into the aerial heavens or beyond and up to the stars. But God is working a work in your day. What's he doing? He's saving sinners. You've just looked at one that has sat down, and you're looking at another who is standing up tonight, preaching to you. And on the 22nd of June, 1934, I get in on this great blessing. I had my sins forgiven through the precious blood of Christ and the sufferings of Christ upon the cross. A young man of 21 years of age, just as foolhardy as any other poor sinner. Without Christ, God was not in all my thoughts until he arrested me by the preaching of the gospel. And I began to find out that there was something more to live for, and there was something I needed, and it was God's salvation. And as I listened to the gospel being preached, on the 22nd of June, 1934, I found out the truth of this scripture. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and all that believe are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. In a few days I'll be 76. Do you think I made any mistake getting Christ as my Savior in my day? You think I made any mistake? If it was only for this life, thank God, I've had 55 lovely years living for Christ and serving Christ. I stand before you tonight to commend to you this lovely one, the Lord Jesus, the one, my friend, that can change your life and bring reality into your soul, which you haven't got tonight. You have to go out for everything. Why? Because you're empty inside. It's your trouble. You're empty inside. And the Lord Jesus wants to come in and take over the throne of your heart. And you'll never be right in your mind. You won't ever think right. And you'll never act right. And you'll never be right until he gets the throne. and takes over the reins of your life. That's what's wrong with humanity. My, they're trying to fix things up, and God bless the dear men in the government that are working so hard to settle so many questions. But my friend, I tell you, there's only one that can settle life's great question, and that's the Lord Jesus. When he comes into your life and forgives your sins, it's not a religion, but my friend, it's something that's infused by God into your soul that changes you from the inside out. That's what you need tonight. Young man, that's what you need. That's what you need tonight. Your day. Now listen, you can do what you like in your day. It's your day. You can curse and say, I don't believe there's any God. But it's your day. You can do that. You can say, I'll please myself. Well, it's your day. You can do that. That's what you want. It's your day. Your day. You know, we sometimes use an illustration. Many of you here heard me use it. And maybe someone in the audience tonight has had this experience. These big supermarkets, and there's plenty of them today, to draw attention and business. They'll advertise. If you buy so many groceries, you get a little slip of paper. And then they're going to have some Monday, they're going to have 3 minutes free shopping. My, everyone is longing to get that ticket. And so this lady, she gets the ticket. The time is announced. She's right there with her hands in the cart. The aisles are all cleared. And she's ready to go. 3 minutes. Free shopping. And the gong goes. And away she goes. She's passing the popcorn bin. And what kind of popcorn would the children like? And she stands considering. Then she goes to the gum counter. And she's wondering what kind of gum would the children like. But we say, woman, listen! You only have 3 minutes! You know she doesn't do that. That's not what she does. That's what you're doing, sinner. That's what you're doing. You draw the parallel. No, she knows where the best cuts of meat are. She knows where the most expensive things are. And you can see her. She's clawing it down. And she's filling the cart. And they're watching. And then the gong goes. What's she got? Just what you put in the cart. Just what you put in the cart. That's what you got. I want to ask you, dear sinner, in light of eternity, you haven't got 3 minutes. You got the popcorn bin? Less than that, isn't it? What do you got in the cart tonight? When the gong goes, well, we were having a meeting in Fort McMurray the other, this spring, as we traveled around on our way home, there's a canvas and it's covering the body of a 32-year-old man who had his head severed from his body 10 minutes before the meeting was out. The gong went. I don't know what he had in the cart. I didn't know him. But the shopping tour was over. And there may be someone in the meeting tonight, friend, and your shopping tour will end tonight. It's your day. In comparison with eternity, you haven't got 3 minutes. You say, mister, what do you got to cart? I have Christ. Ah, friend, that's all. I have Christ, what would I more? When I come to the checkout and the gong goes, friend, thank God, in my day, I got Christ as my Savior. Now, friend, this is what you need tonight. You don't need a new religion. And you don't need a better job. And you don't need some kind of a reformation. But what you need tonight is a living person that you've been hearing about. This one who suffered for sins. This one who was the eternal Son of God. And I'll tell you, to use the expression in relation to our illustration, if you get Christ in the cart, in your shopping cart, your shopping tour will be well worthwhile. And it could happen tonight as you sit in this meeting. It happened tonight. We never like to boast about people that got saved because then the devil gives them a special time of it. All of us were poor sinners that deserved to go to hell. But you know, I never go for my walk in the morning, but I pass a big sign on the side of the road. Dr. Killorn. And I just forget how the words read, but he is treating alcoholics and drug addicts. And that man is working his head off. And I think, oh, dear man, listen, if we could only tell you, we know the remedy. It's Christ. It's Christ. Why do I say that? 13 years ago, a drug addict came into our home that was interested in the gospel through a little girl, through his own little girl who came to a Sunday school meeting. I'm not going into all the details. Some of you might have heard his tape. And that dear man, as he listened to the gospel, that dear man trusted Christ as his Savior. And tonight he's preaching the gospel somewhere. He and I has had a number of gospel series together. And I was asking Brother Crawford here the last weekend, preaching the gospel down there in Iowa. 13 years ago, he got Christ in the cart. And I tell you, he's never been to visit Dr. Killorn. Ah, friend, tonight what you need is God's salvation. In your life, there's just one big question mark because your life is empty. And what you need is what God is doing in this day. He's working a work. And what is it? He's saving sinners. Saving sinners. I don't know, and you can't contradict me, but the first time Peter preached the gospel, there were 3,000 souls that saved. I don't believe there's been a day from then until now, in the past 2,000 years, that there hasn't been 3,000 souls saved. You say, mister, you can't prove. Or you can't prove there wasn't either. And I just believe God's big enough. And God's great enough. And God's powerful enough. And what he's doing, he's taking out of the nations a people for his name. He is saving sinners. And all the powers of hell are Hitler's. Or Mussolini's or Stalin's. All the impotence in the world has never been able to hinder the work that he is doing because he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, friend, tonight in this meeting, would to God that someone here, you would get down to business and say, oh, God, this is my day. I'm only here for a brief moment. What is filling my cart? What am I doing? What's my shopping tour amounting to? Maybe you're here, Father, tonight. And you got a little family. Maybe you're here, Mother, tonight. And you got a little family. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? When those innocent eyes look up and they say, and ask you questions, what are you going to tell them? You want to be able to tell them about the Lord Jesus? Ah, friend, we want to tell you tonight. This is the cure for the world's ills. And it's the cure for your soul tonight. What you need is the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, mister, I believe what you're saying is true. It sort of appeals to me. Time is running out. Man's day will soon be over. And friend, there's nothing in this world that's more imminent than the coming again of the Lord Jesus. As we look at the current events, there is nothing, my friend, that should startle us more as we see what's happening on the face of this globe. Two world wars were fought over the borders of Europe. But my friend, as our brother has said, way back in the book of Daniel, 700 years before the New Testament, Daniel tells us of a united Europe. And Daniel tells us of the Prime Minister of the United Europe. And he tells us what his number will be. And over there we know that we have the United Europe today, the common market. And just recently, a man writing in the Globe and Mail said we cannot make it operate. Until we get a commission, we'll have to appoint a commission. Or he says, maybe we'll have to elect a president. Daniel, how did you know about this? God is a program, my friend. And we are living on the stage of time when God is showing us this is a reality. But friend, before that man comes on the scene, he may be living tonight. He may be living tonight. If he is, he's a man with a lot of charisma. He is high polished as a politician. More than that, he is a man that knows about the finances of the world. And when the moment comes, he'll step to the forefront. I have a friend, he's in the assembly. In Ottawa. He was the manager in relation to setting up the electronic money system worldwide in the Western world. He said, Mr. Brother Ramsey, he said, everything is here for a moneyless society. He says, all that has to happen is a crisis to bring it in. Because he says the world, society won't accept it until there's a crisis. Say that right. He says, it's all here. It's all there, ready to operate. Some of you that are in business, you know that. What'll be the crisis? Ah, friend, think of when the Lord Jesus comes, the day of Christ, and every Christian from pole to pole, empty cribs in your home, the little baby's gone. The little boy under the age of accountability. Ah, friend, I believe, shall not the God of all the earth do right? The Lord is coming. Two shall be sleeping in one bed, one shall be taken in the other left. Two shall be grinding in the mill, one shall be taken in the other left. The day of Christ. Thank God it hasn't happened yet. And you're here tonight unsaved. I want to tell you, friend, you could be saved tonight. Right on the seat where you're sitting, you could have your sins forgiven. Oh, you say, mister, you make me long for it, but I don't think I could get it. I want to tell you, friend, before you leave this meeting tonight, you could know Christ as your Savior. You said, how could that happen? Didn't you hear that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins? And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Says someone, I'm a disrupt teenager. I've often thought of taking that overdose. I've often thought of ending it all. You say, well, you talk like that because that's what I thought. I said, Eva, if this is all there is to live for, I feel like taking my own life. I didn't know the gospel. But friend, right in that seat where you're sitting tonight, You come into this meeting unsaved. You know what? You could go out having your sins forgiven and knowing peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a soul here tonight on this Sunday night? You'd like to be saved in view of the coming of the Lord? In view of the shortness of your day? Time running out? The gong is soon going to go? Would you like to be saved tonight? You take a look away to the man who died on the middle cross, the Lord Jesus. And in the language of the hymn, why was he there as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus my guilt was not laid, or why from his side flowed that sin-cleansing blood, if his dying my death had not paid? Friend, I'll likely never see you again. We're leaving for the East Coast Tuesday morning. The Lord may come before that. But always remember that two men stood before you tonight and told you about the Lord Jesus. And they both told you that we're saved and sure of heaven. And they told you that you could be sure of heaven as well if you'd come as a sinner to Jesus. I wonder if there's someone who'll come tonight at the close of this Sunday night meeting. God help you to do so. So we pray. Father, we bow to thank thee tonight for our Lord Jesus. And Father, we do thank thee for his wounding. We thank thee for his majesty. We thank thee, Father, that he did step upon this scene. The day springs from on high has visited us. The Lord Jesus came. They sent him back to heaven with the marks of Calvary. But Father, we thank thee that today he is saving sinners. We thank thee for everyone tonight that knows him as their Savior. We believe we have those in our meeting tonight who do not know him. And Father, their lives are empty. They're trapped.